A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome into the Jazz Notes Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Anderson. A very happy Wednesday to everybody out there. You can find me on Twitter at Ben's Hoops, as always. Read me at kslsports.com. Just to give you a little update on what's going on this episode. Next year, I'm going to split this into two episodes. I was able to talk to the Jazz Vice President of Player Personnel, Walt Perrin, who's usually wrapping up the college basketball season. That would have ended on Monday. And kind of wrapping up international basketball, doing some high school tournaments or whatever. But usually Walt's getting ready to come back to Salt Lake City. And he's one of my favorite people to talk to every year because I'm a draft junkie. I love the draft. It's one of my favorite events in all of sports. And we're not going to have it like usual this year. There's certainly going to be a draft. But what that looks like is a mystery to most people. So I wanted to talk to Walt about what the coronavirus has done for just changing the NBA. It really doesn't have a lot to do with the virus itself. I know a lot of people have probably feel played out about that, but just where are the Jazz right now when it comes to draft prep? Some questions about this draft. I could ask him about some former players as well that the Jazz have picked up and what the draft process plays, what role it plays in bringing those players back. So a huge pleasure as always to talk to Walt. That's coming up here in just a minute. And again, it's a two-part episode. Quickly, go to kslsports.com. We've been doing a ton of coverage. It's not just Jazz coverage. If you're a Utah fan or a BYU fan or just national sports, we just have a ton of people writing constantly, good writers, and it's always free. So there's never a paywall. You can always get all the content you want, and we're putting out more content than anybody. So make sure you go to kslsports.com daily and check it out. It really is going to help you get through the absence of sports right now. There's a ton of good articles going up. Secondly, what I've been working on is I've been going through every Jazz player so far this season and kind of grading their year out. Not giving them a letter grade per se, but just kind of going down, breaking down what we expected of them coming into the season, what they've provided the Jazz. Is that better than we expected? Is that worse than what we expected? And then I kind of look forward to the rest of their contract. Is it a good contract the rest of the way? How do they figure into the Jazz plans going forward? I think those are all questions I try to address in these articles. And so far I've done Jordan Clarkson and Joe Ingles. So pretty early on in this process, I'm honestly just going by jersey number. Donovan Mitchell will be close to the last because he's got number 45. It's one of the higher numbers, but you know, some of these other players are already going up. So make sure you stay tuned to that. And I'm doing those every day for the next 3 weeks. So make sure you go check out kslsports.com. All right. With that said, let's get to our interview with the Utah Jazz Vice President of Player Personnel, Walt Perrin. So, Walt, where would you be compared to where you usually are right now?
Tell you the truth, Ben, I'd probably be in the same position I am in right now because at this time of the year in the previous years, I would have just been finishing up watching some of the high school events, the McDonald's, the Jordan game, Hoop Summit. Our guys would today, matter of fact, would probably be heading toward Portsmouth for the PIT, which would have started today. But I would have been in basically the same position last year as I am in now. I would be right now starting prepared to go to Salt Lake, starting to set up workouts once we got the list from the NBA office in the next, couple of weeks. But nothing has really changed for me, except I haven't done the high school events. We're not doing, naturally, PIT. We're still doing work with our scouts in terms of evaluating players. We're still talking to coaches about their players and what they may do and what kind of person they are. So right now, I'd be doing the same thing I'm doing right now, except I wouldn't be sitting at home as much as I am.
So with everybody sidelined, no live basketball, where do you start? Are you going back and watching old games? What do you do?
Well, I'm really trying to, me personally, I'm really trying to catch up on some guys I might not have seen this year who might put their names in the draft. Unfortunately, I was planning to make a European trip probably the beginning of end of March, beginning of April, which of course was canceled. So I haven't had a chance to get over to Europe to watch a certain number of players. So I'm starting to, you know, look at synergy, look at tapes of those type players also. In terms of my other scouts, normally we send them on cross-checking during conference tournaments. Of course, they weren't able to get that done. So what I've done is given them guys that they would have had an opportunity to watch in those conference tournaments. I've given them those players to watch now and make an evaluation and reports on.
So are there nightly meetings now with your guys? Are you doing Zoom meetings like everybody else in the world? Is it a text chain? What's going on?
Of course, because we're all, we all are in different spots because everybody stay at home through the NBA closing all the practice sites. Yes, Zoom is big now. We're starting to do a lot more Zoom reports. In terms of my consultants, we have a conference call once a week and we talk about certain things and I give them assignments for the upcoming week. Those within the front office, we're doing not necessarily more Zoom conference calls, but we're staying in contact via phone, via emails, not necessarily on a day-to-day basis, but we do talk quite often.
The draft was originally set to come up on the 25th of June. Is that still the plan? Is that how teams are operating, or do you change that?
Right now, since we haven't got an indication from the league office, yes, we're preparing for the draft to be as normal on June 25th. The concerns is, are we going to be able to have workouts? Are we going to be able to have in-person interviews? Are we going to be able to get medical reports? Those are all things that's still being worked out by the league office.
In these pre-draft workouts, is there a huge difference between an in-person interview or an over-the-phone interview?
Yeah, I think it is. Because I think with a phone interview, basically you're not able to see body language. You can see facial expressions. But sometimes in a live interview, you can see how guys react to certain questions that may not be facial. I feel you may get a better sense of how well they answer a question, how much trouble or struggles they may have coming up with an answer. Just like if you're watching a player, I personally think it's better to see them live because you can see a lot of things you cannot see on video or tape. I think it's the same thing with interviews.
When you're evaluating these players, does it make sense sometimes to watch a full game versus watching Synergy, which breaks up each individual play so you can see it specifically in a scenario, whether that's, you know, a pick and roll or whatever? Is there times when it's more valuable to watch a full game?
There's value in both of them. Naturally, we'll try to do Synergy first if we're not watching the game live, because as you watch Synergy, you could be watching the full year in say 2, 3, 4 clips. Whereas in a game, you're just seeing how they perform in that one game. Now, what we like to do and what we do often is we'll watch Synergy and then we'll say, let's pull up a game that he's played, whether it's been good or bad or both, and see how he's played in a full game situation. So you do both. You do a combination of both, but probably more Synergy than full games.
One of my favorite Walt Perrinisms, Walt, is when you get a player in for an interview and a workout, you say it's a piece of the puzzle, but it's not the entire puzzle. So if you don't get these guys in, if you know we're not allowed to have in-person workouts, how does that change your job? What does that do to that puzzle piece?
I would say it really puts pressure on us to do everything else that we possibly can to get to know that person. As I've always said, as you said, the workout is a piece of the puzzle. If we don't have that piece, then we have an unfinished puzzle, I think. And we have to figure out what we can do besides having that workout that will help us to finish that puzzle. So we have to do whatever it takes.
So along those lines, when it comes to figuring out a player's personality, how does that figure in compared to talent? You know, is it just, hey, we're going to rank all these guys 1 through 60 based on their talent, and then unless there's a glaring red flag, is that what helps you draw out your draft board?
How can I answer that? Personality for us is very big. Background intel is big with us. I would say certain franchises, and I'm not talking about us per se, but I'm talking in generalities. Talent overweighs character. Other teams would be character over talent, and then other teams would be character plus talent. I would hope that when we look at it, character is big naturally, but talent is also big. So we have to weigh whether or not his character is going to overweigh the lack of talent he may have. And when I say lack, it might be just average or below average than normal NBA players. Does that overweigh the talent, which is a lot better or more pronounced than the character?
So like a lot of people who don't have live sports to watch, I've been going back and kind of watching old YouTube clips, and I stumbled upon from KSL Sports your interview or the post-workout interview with Jordan Clarkson when he was here in Salt Lake coming out of Missouri. Do you remember that workout? And in that sense, does it come full circle when then you go back and acquire him? Do you go back and kind of look at what happened or what you'd written down from that workout?
Yes, it does. That's why we were, you know, when Dennis came in, he talked about trying to do as many workouts as possible. We want to gather as much information on as many players in the draft as we possibly can. And that doesn't stop once the draft's over. We still try to gather information on players once they're either in G League, playing overseas, playing the NBA, or wherever they're playing. Because you never know, again, as you said, it comes full circle. We may, in 5 years, 6 years, 7 years down the road, be looking at a player we worked out before and have gathered information before he was drafted and after he was drafted. So, again, the more information you have, the more intel you have, whether it's workouts, whether it's talking to the coaches, talking to whatever, the support staff at their universities, talking to coaches or GMs or front office staff once they've left a college and have played in a league somewhere in this world. So we have to gather as much information as we can.
Going back and watching that post-workout interview, you can see a lot of Jordan Clarkson already. He's got his personality and his, maybe not the confidence, but it certainly it looks like a familiar player, minus the money and minus, you know, some of the established game that he has now. What do you remember about his workout?
To be honest with you, Ben, I've had so many different workouts. I'm not one of those guys that has a photographic memory of everything that happens. But what I will say about Jordan that I do remember as he was coming out, I did see him play a couple times that year at Missouri. At the time I saw him play, which was more toward the tail end of the career, of the season and the conference tournament, he was struggling a little bit only because he had some off-the-court issues, personal issues, nothing bad. If I remember right, I think one of his family members was going through struggles in terms of illness. So there was a concern that it was affecting his play. And that's one of the reasons why we really tried to bring him in. We wanted to get to know him a little bit better and find out what really went on. And the thing I do remember is there was a concern whether or not he was a point guard or a shooting guard. We liked his ability to create shots. We liked his ability that he played hard. He had no fear in his game. And that's one of the things we had to see for ourselves in the workout. So his workout, as far as I can remember, went well. And we were able to address some of the issues that we, or some of the questions that we had concerns about.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Okay, so shifting a little bit towards players in the draft, and no one specific, but does not having the NCAA tournament this year hurt you guys, or does it hurt some players specifically? Because we've seen Trey Burks and Darren Williams and Kemba Walkers of the past who have had big tournaments and have parlayed that into really good draft stock. Is that going to hurt some of these guys?
It's going to hurt certain guys because certain guys show up when the light's really bright. Here's what I think is going to hurt the most. I think it's going to hurt the most not having workouts for those guys who are somewhat on the fringe. And this could also be the case with the guys who didn't have tournaments, conference tournaments or NCAA tournaments. It's going to hurt some of those guys who haven't had the opportunity to be seen by coaches, and be seen by GMs, assistant GMs, especially those in smaller conferences. It hurt them because they won't have the opportunity to get in front of the decision makers in a workout situation. They won't have the they may have still have the opportunity to sit down and have a video interview, but again, the decision makers don't really know them that well. And again, I think you lose a little bit when you have a video versus a person-to-person sitting 5 feet away from a guy, understanding how he's going to react to a question you're asking, what's his body language going to be like. So I think it hurts those people more. I think those early entry guys this year, they're doing an unknown because they're putting their name in, they're staking their reputation on how well they play, and they may not get an opportunity to showcase that in front of, again, the GMs.
Does this hurt the Jarrell Brantleys and the Mie Ionis and the Justin Wright Foremans of the draft, or is it all right because you have so much footage on them?
There's a lot of film on them, but again, you know, the in-person interview, I think that's pretty big with a lot of franchises. I think with those three guys, we kind of knew them even before the end of the NCAA season. And we were kind of looking at them as possible as second-round picks or free agent type guys we would want to bring in for summer league. So those guys, I don't think it hurt that much. I'm thinking more of the guys who are from those type conferences, but may not have been the leading scorer in the conference, may not have been the leading rebounder in the conference, may have had pedestrian numbers, statistics, and wanted to get out and showcase to GMs and coaches that they're better than what their statistics say, and the system that they were in may not have been conducive to how well they could play. Those are the guys who are going to be hurt.
All right, there he was, part one of my interview with Walt Perrin, Vice President of Player Personnel for the Utah Jazz. Walt's just absolutely incredible, a wealth of knowledge, has been around the NBA for a really long time. I love his understanding of the pre-analytics league and the post-analytics league, and he's not biased against one or the other. He just kind of realizes they both play a role, and I think being able to blend those two is an enormous skill that NBA teams need, and Walt Perrin has it. So make sure you stay tuned for episode two. Coming up, I think we'll probably release that actually Monday. So we'll have another podcast for you, hopefully before the end of the week. And then Monday we'll have another, the second episode with Walt Perrin. And I'm going to try and do this more and more with the draft, with players, and people around the NBA and people around the Jazz. So make sure you stick around. Subscribe to the Jazz Notes podcast. You can do that in iTunes. You can leave us a review. Super easy, and makes it more easily available to other Jazz fans, which should hopefully increase the quality of coverage if we can do that. So I appreciate you doing that. Following me on Twitter at Ben's Hoops. Thoughts, people you'd want me to try and talk to? You have some ability to track people down if there's someone you feel like you'd usually be hearing from at this point. Let me know. Send me a tweet. You can always DM me on Twitter. My DMs are open, so if you want to have a private conversation, I'm available for that. And of course, go and read all of our coverage once again at kslsports.com. This is the Jazz Notes Podcast.